Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis, and this is Music Weekly from The Guardian. In today's podcast, we're on the road with Oxford Stornoway, who reveal a surprising rock and roll lifestyle and also play a track for us.
Before the gig started, our violinist was coming into town and managed to get into a collision with a motorcycle, and the guy came off his bike, so he had a run-in with the police.
There's Christina Aguilera, Kanye West, and a collaboration between Regis Function and Silent Servant. We're covering all bases here. Christina Aguilera, Kanye West, and Regis Function and Silent Servant in Singles Club. And Meryl Garbus, a.k.a. Tune Yards, tells us about her busking days and singing in Swahili.
I had nothing but myself and my ukulele, and eventually a looping pedal, and it was, you know, open mics, and I spent a lot of time in Montreal and would play in the metros to make money.
That's all in Music Weekly. Yes! I'm back at Breathe Easy, everybody. I am back at the helm. Many thanks to Rosie Swash for stepping in while I was away. Did it all go all right? I bet it was a disaster.
It was terrible.
Was it?
You mean you haven't been listening? You haven't caught up yet?
I've only just come back. did you miss me?
I did, of course. Every second was painful.
Was it?
Yeah.
And making her first pod appearance ever. In fact, it's music journalist Jude Rogers.
Hello.
Hello, music journalist Jude Rogers.
Hello, Alexis Petridis. I like it should be formal.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming in. First up today, it's indie folk band Stornoway, who hail not from the Hebridean town on the Isle of Lewis, but from Oxford. Their debut album, Beachcomber's Windowsill, was released a couple of weeks ago on 4AD, and I think it's rather good. I caught up with a band mid-tour in Brighton to have a chat, and they turned out to be rather more lively than you might expect from a folk band from Oxford. Difficult to imagine how anybody could be less lively than you might imagine a folk band from Oxford to be. Anyway, they also recorded a song for us, a version of a song from the album called Fuel Up, which is my favourite track on the album. A song which caused me to burst into tears the first time I heard it performed live. Oh, you see, I have a sensitive and giving side too.
And a chorus of girls.
A chorus of girls. Oh, it didn't actually make me cry at all. I only said that in order to make girls go, oh. So I was keen to know when I met them where the idea for that track came from.
I don't know. It just kind of summed up how I was feeling when I was I went travelling to New Zealand and visited some old friends of mine down there, and it was a very wild place, and it. I was just, I guess, feeling a bit nostalgic generally, and it kind of, well, there was a lot of travelling involved there, so it kind of, I was just collecting bits of lyrics together when I was out there, and I guess the music just kind of seemed to fit the story. We just kind of arrange songs depending on what seems to sort of just suit the vibe. So for that one, we thought a slightly, I don't know, shanty type vibe seemed to fit. So, yeah, that's how it came out.
The bit in it that I find particularly sort of troubling or whatever is the thing about going back to your hometown or whatever after you've been away at university or away to your job and not, you know what I mean, attempting to reconnect with your old friends and it all going a bit sort of disastrously wrong. Yeah. Is that based on the sort of personal experience?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for 95% of the lyrics, it's just about personal experience and life stories.
How were you received in Stornoway? I mean,
well, we bribed them, so perhaps it's. I can't really speak it.
Don't worry. I know it's quite right.
John got punched last night at the gig.
You joke. You got. Hang on a minute. I think we should explain here the rock and roll events that you may feel stored away the mild mannered face of the new folk movement or something like that. But in the past 24 hours, they've had their van impounded because they were driving illegally, and one of your members has been punched. Well, who punched you and why?
Someone I've never met before. I'm not planning to meet again. I wish I could say it was a substantial reason for it, but it was quite. A weird moment.
Did he just sort of walk up to you and like belt you?
No, it was it was just they were sort of indulging in sort of some kind of chemical fun.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to know whether I had any more supplies, and I didn't, so I don't think that really went down very well.
That seems an enormously rough way to carry on. Do you have any drugs? No, thump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't really stay for very long to sort of find out if there's any way around.
Is this sort of a regular night on the road for Sean? Like, you know, drugs, violence, run-ins with the police?
Yeah. I mean, even before the gig started, our violinist was coming into town and managed to get into a collision with a motorcycle, and the guy came off his bike, so he had a run-in with the police there as well.
I thought I was coming today to interview a well-mannered, Oxford-educated young gentleman, and it would appear that I'm actually interviewing a stooge. Send my body out to received an enormous amount of attention, an enormous amount of sort of hotly tipped for 2010 kind of stuff in the press. How do you react to all of that? I mean, does it affect you? Do you just ignore it and plough on? Is it impossible to stop it affecting you?
I don't feel very affected by it, actually. I kind of, like, it's been a very kind of gradual kind of build for us, because we started off in Oxford playing loads and loads of gigs that we, you know, some which we organised ourselves, some which we, you know, just sent out CDs for and so on. And we've just built up an audience of kind of starting from two mates up to, you know, well, recently we played at the Roundhouse, which is kind of the biggest place we've played so far. So it just keeps growing and growing. And so every step's been a little step. And this press, I don't know, I think we've always just got on with what we're doing and kind of, well, now that we've finished this album, I feel just, you know, I'm satisfied with how it's come out personally, and in a way, sort of selfishly, that's more important to me than what anyone else thinks. So, I mean, obviously I'm obviously very chuffed when we get a nice review, but I think, you know, now that we're reaching a certain point of sort of popularity, the reviews are going to start to sort of change in tone. I expect it's almost inevitable, and I'd like to think that I'll be able to deal with that and just ignore it, basically.
You're preparing yourself for the inevitable backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 months after the glorious ride.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I've been the back of the car. 9 years old, you don't know where you are, and your head's on the window, your eyes are just closed. There's a voice in the front and a hush on the road. You're a passenger, but your mind is traveling on. Open your eyes and you're 9 years older. Hands on the wheel and you're racing on over to lie with your first love. You can't wait to see her. You borrowed the car and you think you're the driver, but now you're a passenger to your own heart, and it takes you traveling, traveling on. When that morning broke and the sky fell down, it went black as night and the wind blew round and stole your directions. You lost your way home and you felt like a passenger left by the road. Well, I'll tell you the reason you couldn't get home, 'cause it's nowhere you've been and it's nowhere you're gone. Home is only a feeling you get in your mind from the people you love and you travel beside. You may feel like a passenger, but now you're the driver. You've got to go traveling, traveling on. 'Cause if you break down, it's a cold, hard shoulder. So fuel up your mind and fire up your heart. Drive on, and when your days are darker, put your foot down high.
9 more years you've been driving now, but tonight you're stumbling through your old town. You met up with a school friend who's still just the same, and you talked all the same shit you talked in those days. And now you're drunk and you're sad for the old times passing you by. Well, there's no rewind, so you might as well play while your time is rolling away. Get back on the road, it's a beautiful day. Pick up all the friends you can find on your way. And if you lose direction, they'll be there guiding you on, guiding you on. Cause we're all going the same way down this long road. Yes, we're all bound the same way down this long, long road. So fuel up your mind and fire up your heart and drive on. Drive on, drive on. And when your days are darker, put your foot down harder, drive on, fuel up and drive on, fuel up and drive on, drive on.
Stornoway, I'm containing my emotions. Stornoway there playing the wonderful Fuel Up, especially for Music Weekly. Ladies, they've had a lot of hype.
Yes.
Stornoway. Do they live up to it?
I haven't quite got told of why Stornoway are being loved in the way they are. Mm. I know that will possibly upset you a little bit.
No, I'm upset already, James.
Well, obviously.
We're crying.
I do think they're very good. Fuel Up is fantastic. It's got a real story to it, and there's that idea of the narrative really pulling you towards the end of the song, which I always like in songs. It does, as an album, seem to be quite kind of monotonal. It just kind of has one sort of feeling to it. He's got a great voice. There's some really lovely percussion. It's very nice. And sometimes I want something a little weirder.
You said this while it was playing. You said that you thought it was very nice, and that this year you're not into nice.
No, I don't think I'm into nice. I don't know why.
A Cannibal Corpse?
Rammstein.
Rammstein.
I nearly said Rammstein for my single of the week just to make it amusing, but it is actually not very good. The Stornoway album to me sounds a lot like, it reminds me a lot of the Decemberists, reminds me a lot of Fionn Regan, which possibly is because, as we were also saying during the listening to the song, sounds a bit Irish.
Yeah, he does sound Irish. I don't think he is Irish.
No, nobody sounded Irish in that interview.
No, I should have said to him, are you Irish?
Are you Irish?
And if not, why do you sing like that?
Yeah, my other half thinks that Laura.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
My other half thinks that Laura Marling sounds Irish, and I can kind of see what
Laura
you're saying.
Laura Marling.
Yeah.
Good old Laura Marling.
On Father Ted. No, that's. it's really lovely, but there's just something that's not quite there for me.
You want a bit of grit in the oyster?
A bit of grit, and I've been to Stornoway, and Stornoway's quite a strange and bleak and weird place. I absolutely love it up there, so maybe that's why I'm a slightly prejudiced.
I don't think they've been to Stornoway when they named the band. I don't think so. Maybe that's why. You know what I mean? Rosie?
I'd read that they came up with a name for Stornoway after seeing it on BBC Weather. It's quite weird. Quite weird.
Which is where the title of, there you go, pop fact, where the title of Nick Drake's Brighter Later comes from a weather forecast. That's why it's spelt like that. It's meant to be the received pronunciation of a BBC announcer. So the weather will be brighter later. Anyway, yes, anyway. Stornoway.
I do like it. Michael Hann brought in, is it Zorbing?
Zorbing.
Yeah. A while back.
Which has the most off-putting opening line which ever in the history of rock music, which is Conker shining on the ground, exactly. And I feel like it's my first day at uni.
And I kind of wanted to chuck it out the window at that point. But, you know, with reference to what we're talking about with Fuel Up, there's obviously the theme of uni and times changing and life changing and the pain that causes them. That deeper meaning throughout the album is much more interesting. And whereas when I first heard that line, I thought, oh, they're just doing this. You know, it was like some sort of twee nonsense. Or they're just purposefully trying to write about something quite stupid in a way. And I really like it. It's kind of not the usual. It's not the thing I would usually be into.
Mm-hmm. It's terribly middle class music.
Yeah.
Will that, do we think, hold them back?
I don't have any problem with what class of band.
No, I don't either. I must hasten to add.
Yeah, I think that I think it will hold them back. You know, yeah. Indie is the most middle class thing in the world.
Absolutely.
Folk is pretty middle class, although it often pretends to be working class. You know, a lot of folk is, a lot of 60s folk.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, no, quite, quite.
You know, that
quite,
kind
quite,
of quite. Heritage that they're looking at, but...
Norma Watson's going to hear that and kick it.
Oh, I know. Oh, no, I love her so much.
I know.
Wanted to be my auntie.
Yes, I feel a bit like that about her husband,
Martin
McCarthy. I sort of thought, I kind of wish you were my dad.
We could be siblings.
anyway, do we think, I mean, talking about folk music, do we think the folk tag will hold them back? I mean, people can be, because they do seem to be described as folk a lot. And to my mind, the band they most recall are probably Belle and Sebastian, who obviously aren't folk at all.
Yeah, they do recall bands.
But there seems to be, haven't you heard about the new folk revival that's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
The new folk
Mumford
revival.
Mumford & Sons on the front of the
day. Of course. My good old Mumford & Sons.
Folk revival.
I've been holding back the name Mumford & Sons, actually, because if it's them versus Mumford & Sons, surely it's them.
It's got
to
be
that
them,
it has to be a battle, although it would be good to have a battle with their
folk
outfits
battle.
On, with a bit of hay. Or something.
The most pathetic
fight.
That
guy didn't seem to like getting punched in the face very much.
Well, you see, that's it. Because I think I would have previously said it would be the most pathetic battle ever, Stornoway fighting Mumford & Sons. Having met them, I reckon Stornoway would beat the living bejesus out of them.
Speaking of indie fights, this may or may not be true because I wasn't actually there, but at the recent Florence and the Machine gig, she was supported by Babe Shadow and the Drums, who apparently got into some kind of fight with one another.
Drums did?
With Babe Shadow walking off, uh-huh. And one of the members of the Drums allegedly shouted, "You don't care about the music, you don't care about the melody, you'll never amount to anything."
Wow. What a heckle.
What's that for an indie fight?
That's amazing. And then they had a punch-up.
Well, no, I think it was a bit... Apparently Babe Shadow didn't seem to care very much, so I think it was particularly violent. Indie fight, not very
indie
violent.
Indie fight, amazing. Beachcomber's Windowsill by Stornoway is out now on 4AD. Singles Club now, you know the drill. We each nominate a single and then we chew the fat over it, so to speak. First up, let's have a listen to Rosie's selection. No one means to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. Till then, fuck that, the world's ours. That was Power by Kanye West, sampling 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson. I never thought I would see the day when I was back announcing, as I believe they call it in trade, a hip-hop record that samples King Crimson. Rosie.
Well, I brought this in because, you know, it was on the internet and people seem to be talking about it. I've been a huge fan of Kanye West for most of his career, but I don't like this one that much. But everybody else seems to love it.
What are you for then?
Well, to discuss it. That's okay.
Okay.
I think his vocals are a little bit they're not prominent enough on the track is probably one reason.
Okay.
Like they seem to be a bit overshadowed by the production. I do like the King Crimson sample. I also feel he's scrambling around for things to say that, but he sounds really pissed off, which is the main thing, but I don't think it flows that well. But people seem to absolutely loving it.
I prefer it, I think, to the sound on 808s and Heartbreak, which I found a really sort of... kind of, I love the single. The first time I heard Love Lockdown, I thought this is literally the most amazing record I've ever heard in my life. And then the album itself seemed a little bit... what's the word, like transparent or something? It didn't seem to have any emotional heft to it and didn't really enjoy it. I thought that was a bit more oomphy. Jude?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I similarly with the album, the last album, I first of all absolutely loved it. I thought it was really interesting what he was trying to do with his voice and talking about obviously things with his mum and all this weird stuff that was going on. But it did tire very quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas this, admittedly, I've heard it several times, so I might try it in a week. But yeah, it sounds fantastic. And the King Crimson sample, I'm a bit of a geek for weird samples. Yeah. I know hip hop has been based on them and is full of them.
But I love a really, I love a really kind of out there, you know what I mean? I wasn't expecting King Crimson.
I loved it when Gnarls Barkley had that sample of Trees, the psychedelic folk band.
Oh,
kind of like, I wouldn't have recognised it, admittedly, because they're a bit obscure, but I do like it when there's that odd kind of referencing that just really works out of nowhere.
I think it sounds like a pretty strong comeback to me. So, yeah, you brought it in, you didn't like it, we liked it. Amazing, brilliant. Power by Kanye West is all over the internet right now. Let's have a listen to Jude's choice. That was a sampler single one from Regis/Function/Silent Servant. Jude, that's your choice. Bit of minimal.
Yeah, bit of minimal.
Bit of minimal. Tell us why you brought that in.
I brought that in because I looked through everything that had come out recently and nothing was particularly inspiring. I am a bit of an indie kid who has always wanted to be a bit of a techno kid, but I'm too square, too naff, too scared to go to clubs, really. But I'm a bit obsessed with a website called Boomcat, which every week has lots of random house, techno, whatever stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I really like about getting into this kind of music is, you know, you don't really have to have a narrative behind the person, or you don't have to get into the lyrics, it's just all about the sound. And I have like minimal techno for a while, not all of it, admittedly. It all stems from the fact that my favourite band are Kraftwerk, and I've got a real love of 70s. Early krautrock and stuff like that, and the techno that came from that, the electro, that kind of stuff. This is a 12-inch with three different tracks on it. I must admit, I only heard of Regis before. Regis is not a hair salon. He is a producer who's been around for a long time. Silent Servant is from somewhere in Central America. I couldn't find out where, but they've been working together for quite some time. Function is a guy called Dave Sumner. I was hoping he was a relation of Bernie Sumner. Yeah, but not, apparently. But
I was hoping that Regis was a relation of Cyril Regis, the West Bromwich Albion striker of the early 80s.
That would be good. I can't think of anybody to go with Silent Servant, though. But this is just one 12-inch that I bought last week that came up in the newsletter. Just thought all three tracks were fantastic. The Regis track in particular. And probably Regis, then Silent Servant, then Function. Sorry, Function. It is good still, but
Function is the more ambient.
Yeah, track. I do like a bit of ambient.
Yeah, thought that was just a load of noises strung together. I didn't care for that one very much. So he said sounding like someone's dad. not proper music. Well, I am someone's dad. Rosie, excuse me while I continue my internal dialogue here. Rosie, we all know, as regular listeners to the podcast will know, that you're a big fan of Speed Garage, and you spend all your time down at Twice as Nice drinking champagne from a bottle and shouting brap and things like that. Minimal, do it for you?
Not particularly. I do like this track, but I don't ever feel much more attachment to minimal techno than it sounds quite nice while it's on. But I love knowing that Jude is into this, because I totally didn't know that this was her.
No, I must admit, there was some discussion. Then.
And I concur that Boomcat is a brilliant, brilliant website.
Mm. Very, see, everybody thinks I'm some kind of indie girl, and I'm not. I've never have been, and I never will be. I do like a lot of house as well and stuff, but I'm not a clubber, I'm more of a nodder.
A nodder. If you're a nodder and you're looking for something to nod to, sample single one by Regis/Function/Silent Servant is out now on Sandwell District. Now it's time for my track. If I was the ruler, I'd set you straight. But your love is like a sharpener, it really grates. 'Cause when I'm trying to bounce, you pull me back. And when I try to come to you, you give me slack. You're pulling like a rubber band. You're pulling like a rubber band. Elastic love, such a spastic love. that was Christina Aguilera. That's a track from her her forthcoming album Bionic, which is out on Monday, which she did with MIA. It's called Elastic Love. I am not an unequivocal fan of the new Christina Aguilera album, but I will say this much in its favour. She has clearly been spurred by the success of Lady Gaga to seek out some more interesting collaborators. There's a track on there with MIA. She did two tracks with Ladytron, a track with La Tigre. It's not, you know, an unequivocal success, the album. There is a track with our old friend Nicki Minaj on it, during which Christina Aguilera compares her vagina to a cake.
Any particular kind of cake?
No, no, no. Let's hope it's not a stollen because they're full of yeast. I just think it's a really interesting and quite brave record, this track in particular. I think MIA, it's got a sort of slightly slanted pop melody, weird production, weird WFS. They've stopped her. She somehow managed to stop Christina Aguilera doing that attentional shipping vocal style that she normally does, you know. And I just, of everything on the album, this track and the La Tigre track really struck me. Jude.
Yeah, I haven't heard the whole album. I've heard a few tracks, and I love that. I really love that. It is quite an interesting and quite a weird move for her, because obviously, as you say, the attentional shipping vocals, which is I want to steal. That's a very good way of describing the way she used to sing. I've always been a fan of hers, actually, because she seems to have managed to straddle lots of different worlds, you know, kind of singing on stage with the Rolling Stones, kind of doing big pop tracks, doing stuff that's slightly jazzy, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But this is kind of such an odd move, because you'd expect she'd just be pushing the kind of mainstream buttons all the way. You know, collaborating with Ladytron, who are a fantastic group, is not exactly cutting edge either.
No.
I've heard a few people kind of criticising it that sounds a bit dated. I don't mind it if it sounds as good as this, really.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good track.
Excellent. Rosie?
I thought her... I love this. And this is what she should have released first. All that teaser nonsense that came with Not Myself Tonight and the run-up to it, and it's like, how exciting this would be. He had two teaser clips and an interview with the director of the music video before they put the single out. Wow. And it came out, and it was just like this terribly dated attempt to be sexy that just looked so absolutely desperate for her to be doing this, to have this comeback. You know, what was it, 10 years after Dirty was out, to still be like desperately trying to get that kind of attention from people, which just felt really disappointing. And then she's got this on the album. Imagine if they'd had that build up and this had come out. It just would have, you know, people would have just thought it was so weird and out there. And well, I think
maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Yeah,
because you know, it is a mainstream audience
as well. Yeah,
it's a huge risk. You
but
know.
I think it works as well because it feels like a really direct meeting between the two of them, because it's much more pop than anything I think MIA's done, really. And it's a lot weirder than anything Christina Aguilera's done on her own. It doesn't sound anything like her when she's singing. I wouldn't have known this was her.
Yeah, that's true. Actually,
she'd come on unannounced on the radio.
No, I agree. I really wish, my great sort of objection to the album is I wish she would tone down the continually going on and on about having it off, as if she personally invented the concept of doing it.
It's so dull these days.
It's really boring.
And also, one thing I find really interesting about Lady Gaga is she never really does that.
No.
She never kind of talks about sex or this kind of stuff. She's just kind of like weird and out there, and if you like her or not, it's a very different model, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
From like people like Christina Aguilera and obviously Madonna.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. Although, going back to the her vagina being like a cake, somebody did point out when I said this, talking about Lady Gaga's influence, Bluffing with My Muffin.
Yeah. Oh,
you see?
Yeah.
A little
bit
of a cakey slash vagina reference there as well. I think it's possibly, we're having a go here, but it's worth saying that it's probably what she's done. And to the extent that she has done it, is braver than most artists in her position would do. I don't see, you know, she's making a record with Ladytron. I don't see Britney Spears making a record with insert name of relatively obscure Scouse Electric Clash band here. Elastic Love by Christina Aguilera is on the album Bionic, /on/ic, which is released on Monday. Remember, guardian.co.uk/musicweekly is the place to leave feedback for us. Here are some posts from last week's show, which obviously I had nothing to do with, so I accept no responsibility whatsoever for your comments. Oh, they're all good. it was all to do with me. The gaff, corrects Alex Needham on his yay-sayer knowledge. If I can be a pedant for 2 seconds, please, please be a pedant, the gaff. We love people being a pedant on this show. And point out that it was Ira from Yay Sayer who used to be a carpenter and put in a shelving and light unit in Kanye West's house. Gfran, I don't know, posted in about Rosie's interview with The National. The National are my favourite band of all time, and I don't say that lightly. I know they are not the most innovative band of all time. You can say that again. But they are fantastic musicians, and Matt's lyrics and voice are simply splendid. The drummer is unbelievable. Some of the drums on Boxer and High Violet are excellent. Good, good, good. Glad you liked the interview. I assume you liked the interview. You didn't actually mention the interview. Maybe you hated the interview. Extraordinary Vamp writes about Music Weekly. Nice format, guys. Like you, Extraordinary Vamp. You seem very nice. In parts, just an inch away from the feeling you're overhearing a conversation at the pub. You know, the ones where everyone's an expert. But maybe enjoyable. We are. What do you mean? Yeah. But enjoyable nonetheless. Thank you very much, Extraordinary Vamp. Thanks as ever for all your feedback. Keep it coming in, please. We've got an interview with another 4AD artist now. Tune Yards is the lo-fi folk project of New England's Meryl Garbus. Her debut album, Bird Brains was entirely self-produced and recorded using a loop station and various pieces of cheap music software. You went to see her, Rosie.
I did indeed. Various internet rumours have her down as both a puppeteer and a street performer before she turned it into Tune Yards. And obviously I wanted to see if she could confirm this.
Yes, I mean, there were many lives that I lived. I mean, right after I studied theatre in school, and then I began working for a puppet company called Sandglass Theatre, which is based in Vermont, but we toured a bunch in Europe. So that was really my first, you know, professional performing experience, and I did that for about 4 years, at the end of which I created a solo puppet opera, and that was sort of when I got my first ukulele and I said, this is actually what I like more than the fiddling around with puppets. Puppetry was one, you know, I definitely was in front of many different kinds of audiences, and then when I got the ukulele in my hands and I started writing songs, then I became more of a street performer, I think, because, you know, it was, I had nothing but myself and my ukulele and eventually a looping pedal, and it was, you know, open mics, and I spent a lot of time in Montreal and would play in the metros to make money, and a lot of my last, I guess, you know, since I was a teenager, there was some sort of like playing music, performing in front of other people, whether that was, you know, on the street for tips or, you know, open mics for tips. It's really just been lately that I've made any sort of real money at all.
But it sounds like arriving at the point you are now came very naturally, as you know, you said you got a loop pedal, and then you know you had a ukulele, and suddenly you had an idea. Is that how it happened, or, you know, it was quite serendipitous, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it feels very charmed, but I mean, of course, I mean, I had another band called Sister Subi that I began with friends in Montreal, so that was a good 4 years of doing, you know, being in a rock band with a ukulele and really learning the ropes firsthand of touring and of, you know, music business things in general, and, you know, labels a bit, recording. I learned so much from that experience, so that was a whole life, in fact, that I live. That, you know, then when Tune Yards lately has become big, you know, we all decided that Sister Subi would stop to make room for the other things that we wanted to do. But I guess, in, you know, Tune Yards has always had a sort of, it's got integrity to it. And so I think I never doubted it in that way. It's just my music, and it really felt like it was coming from an honest place. So in that way, you know, in other parts of my life, I'm very, you know, insecure and have no confidence. In that part, I was like, you know what, this is good, and I know it's good. So in that way, you know, I did push it. You know, I really, like, brought it to people's ears, and however sort of shy I was about other things, it was one thing that I felt good about pushing and working on.
Various performance backgrounds must have helped to a degree. Your live shows aren't exactly, you don't exactly just stand there, you know, they're quite theatrical.
Yeah, people are always like, wow, you're so comfortable on stage, and I don't, yeah, I mean, I don't think twice about it anymore. I guess because the past, you know, I started doing theatre in high school, so that means, you know, about, I don't know, 14 years or something, I've been performing and getting more and more confident with just being in front of people, it's sort of like no matter what happens, it's just, you know, you can sort of roll with it. For instance, you know, the looping pedal is just an unpredictable animal sometimes, and, you know, things happen, like, you know, your heartbeat goes a little bit weird and all of a sudden the loop's really off. Some people might be like, oh, flustered and get nervous, and I think I just have an understanding that an audience more wants to just feel comfortable and they don't care. I mean, a lot of different things can happen and audiences are really okay with it. It's just a matter of how you approach mistakes. If you say, oh gosh, that wasn't supposed to happen, versus if you say a mistake is part of performance and that performance must incorporate mistakes, and in fact mistakes are probably the best thing that is ever going to happen.
You are singing in a different language, is that right? Which language are you singing?
It's Kiswahili. Swahili language.
How did you learn?
I once upon a time knew it better than I do now. I studied Kiswahili in college, so I had about 2.5 years, and then I went to study in Kenya for 6 months and learned it fairly fluently there, and then came back and attempted a poor translation of a play by this woman, Penina Mlama, who's a brilliant playwright. So I, you know, that was all inspired by my aunt and uncle going, they're in the medical profession, so they lived for a year in Kenya when I was about 10. And I think I always, you know, talk about like feeling stuck in Connecticut, and they were like all the way across the world, and we get these reports of, you know, beautiful, like, green, lush mountains, and like how beautiful everything was, and how life was simple and basic and important. And I did romanticize Africa, I think, from then on, that, you know, it was this sort of this other world that I was, you know, where you could access what was really important in life, which I didn't think Connecticut, New England held for me.
It's Meryl Garbus from Tune Yards talking with Rosie earlier. It's a very strange album, the Tune Yards album, Bird Brains. Do we like it? Jude, do you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
You like it a lot? Excellent.
I do. She's very weird, and I like her being weird. It's really interesting hearing that interview now, because she seems to have a level of self-awareness, even though she's quite
hippie-ish,
you know, which, you know, there's certain sentences she says there that if they were said in a different tone of voice, she'd be like, I would be like, oh, God. Yeah. You know, but
I've lived a lot of different lives.
Yes, indeed. I really liked her first because what she does with the ukulele, because in the wrong hands, the ukulele is the most annoying instrument in the world. And it reminded me of when I heard that track on the last Portishead album that had the ukulele on.
Yes.
Which is really spooky and weird and sinister. And, you know, you wouldn't think it was a ukulele. It sounds more like a zither or something. Mm. But, yeah, I think just it's that quality of her recordings obviously lend a lot to the atmosphere of them. But the way she kind of almost puts songs together is quite strange as well. But it's very warm and easy to have a hold of, despite that, which is quite clever.
You're a fan, Rosie.
I think live, I do like the album, but I think live is a whole other thing because she's just got a totally primal way of being on stage. And I do quite like it when you meet these musicians who are very, as people, off stage, quite shy, don't demand a lot of the attention, and seem to have broken through this invisible barrier, because when they get on stage, they just go absolutely nuts. And I've also have a huge soft spot for people who create music, you know, out of, well, you know, in her case, a ukulele, but lots of random weird things and make these very strange noises, but they still sound like pop songs. I'm always going to have a bit of a soft spot for that. So I do think she does it very well.
It comes out on 4AD, which is 30 years old, which may make some people who can remember 4AD in the early 80s feel as old, like the last surviving Tommy from World War One. Bird Brains by Tune Yards is available from the 4AD website, that's 4AD.com. If you want to see her live, she plays London Scala on the 23rd of June. Highly recommended. by Rosie. I do think that was something that would work really well live. I would like to see it live, which I haven't. And we'll also be appearing at the Glastonbury Festival, as will we, won't we, Rosie? We
are not literally. On stage.
We're on the pyramid stage just before Gorillaz. It's going to be amazing. No,
we're
doing some podcasts, aren't we?
Yeah, we're doing 4 podcasts.
I'm only doing 3.
I thought you were only doing 2. You're only doing 3. Brilliant. I have to do 1 on my own.
Yeah. Have you got to do on your own?
Oh, well, dear. No, not too.
Anyway, I'm sure you're all fascinated by this logistics, but we will be podcasting every night from Glastonbury in some form or other. So if you're not there, or even if you are there and you're sitting around at Glastonbury with a laptop, in the unlikely event that you are.
In the Chill and Charge Lounge.
In the Chill and Charge Lounge. Yes, yes. That's your lot for this week. Thank you very much for coming in, Jude.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you.
Thank you.
Hope you're coming again. Cheers, Rosie, as ever. Always a pleasure, never sure.
Say
every week, but it's true. It's true, Rosie. My thanks as ever to our long-suffering producer, Pete. I'm Alexis Petridis, and I'll catch you next week in Session Seekers.